in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
We were just talking about our adventures at Pottawatomie. And Joshy, you may have to help me with this because I don't have the numbers in front of me. I'm going to pull them up in a second. But at Pottawatomie, you can place a bet, Chew, on which direction you think the Packers will go with their first pick. And it is defensive line slash edge with the best odds, followed by cornerback with pretty close odds, then offensive line, then wide receiver, and then a dramatic fall off to like linebacker, safety, all of those types of things. Joshy, do you have the numbers in front of you for those positions?
I'm working on them, but I do remember it was plus 110 for the edge rusher. I'm pulling it up right now. Plus 175 for corner, plus 500 for offensive line, and then plus 700 for wide receiver.
I think I have maybe been overlooking the cornerback position. I know we have talked a lot about Jair and what his future with the Green Bay Packers is, but I feel like I personally have been overlooking cornerback. Last night on the show Weekly Wager, my co-host Greg Matzik was saying it is such a problem. I think he called it it's not a dilemma. It was basically like catastrophic. They're in a catastrophic situation right now when it comes to cornerback. And that is without the Jair Alexander development. He's just talking about the depth of the position is just very, very bad. Are they going to draft a quarterback with the first pick, guys? Is this a real thing?
They could. I don't see it as dire.
Yeah, if the right guy is there, I think there's a possibility. Like I've been seeing in a lot of mock drafts recently, a cornerback out of Michigan by the name of Will Johnson, who has kind of fallen. Like in earlier mock drafts, I saw him going, you know, in the top 10-ish, just outside the top 10, and he's somebody who fits the Packers' parameters that they have, you know, for the athleticism, height, weight, all that sort of thing. So I think if someone like that were to fall, I think that's certainly a possibility, but I don't look at them as... It would have to be somebody falling that they are really high on, because I don't see them reaching for anything else because they just invested into the position by picking up a cornerback this offseason. And that's just not something the Packers typically, at least under, like in the draft, Chew, when you were still around, when Randy Moss was, you know, Randy Moss came in, just terrorized you guys for a season. What did Ron Wolf do the next year? Top three picks for all defensive backs.
Yeah.
We got to find a solution to slow that guy down. That's not really what Goody does. If Goody picks somebody up in free agency, he's not going to double or triple down. Now, would they add a depth piece later in the draft? Certainly. I think that's a possibility. But I don't think that they're looking at cornerback as a top-of-the-line need for them unless someone were to fall to them at 23.
And is the last two cornerbacks they picked in the first round are... Ugh. Right? Kevin King, terrible pick.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
And then Stokes, I wouldn't call him terrible, but it's a subpar pick.
Mm-hmm.
I just kind of look at defensive back. It's stabilized. It's not great. It's stabilized. Yeah, you need depth, but you can pick that up third, fourth, fifth round. It's kind of in that, like the offensive line. It's stabilized. It's fine. Now you got to feed other positions, which I would be disappointed. I'd be disappointed if he drafted a corner. I would. Especially because I think there's a bigger need at D-end, defensive line, and obviously wide receiver. I think he goes, all right, let me ask you, Gabe. Are the three top receivers going to be gone? Tet, Abuka, and Golden. Will they be gone at 23?
So, I mean, Abuka could potentially be there because Abuka's looked at, I don't know if he's a consensus top three. Like, McMillan and Golden, in some order, are consensus top two, but Luther Burden is in there as well. Abuka could be third or fourth, depending upon what you're looking at. I think that Tet and Golden are going to be gone. Burden and Abuka, I think, are going to be available at 23.
So, yesterday I did a mock draft, guys, and I know, take it for what it's worth. It's not worth a whole hill of beans, but it is interesting. With a station out in Vegas, Q Myers, I think you work with him occasionally.
Oh, yeah, Q's a great guy.
So, they did a mock draft where they called quote unquote beat reporters or people connected to each of the local markets, right? So they called, you know, who's this team gonna pick? And they went down the list. And I got to me at 23 making the Packers pick. On that list, there were a lot of guys that you have heard the Packers might be interested who were already gone. The edge guy Williams from Georgia was gone. Tet McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, gone. Will Johnson, the cornerback from Michigan, gone. Emeka Ibuka, who I have talked to personally, sat across from. I know his name. It just escaped me for a moment.
That doesn't mean anything. Chewy's talked with teammates, and he doesn't know their names.
That was Jaromir Jagr all over again is what that was, you guys. Gone. So at 23, I ended up taking Golden. Golden was not off the board yet. I said, well, wide receiver, Golden. I think that, you know, if they choose to go wide receiver, he was still left on the list. And it was a great reminder that you have no idea the direction these other teams are going to go. You think you know based on what they need and who might be there. But to your point about the cornerback, if all of those wide receivers are gone and all of the edge guys that they feel strongly about are gone, then I guess it wouldn't surprise me if they took the best cornerback or the second best cornerback off the board, Josh.
Yeah, yeah. I certainly don't think it's a priority, and I don't think the Packers are going into the first round thinking we need to draft a cornerback because we are so weak there. They are three deep at that position with Nixon, Hobbs, and then Carrington Valentine. You could say what you want about Valentine. The Packers clearly view him as an asset and a good player that they want to see the field. At that point, now you're looking at the fourth option and then moving one of them down maybe at the best case. The thing you have to keep in mind is the Packers view cornerback as a premium position. So if the guy there that they like and value as a top 15 pick is there at 23, then I think, yes, they could end up drafting him. But if you sort of look at how they addressed free agency, Nate Hobbs isn't there to just be a slot guy. He isn't there to be rotational. That's a guy they view as someone they want to be a starter, and a starter throughout the course of the season. You lost Jair, you filled it back in. They typically don't go draft and also free agency at those positions, but you always have to factor in how does the draft break, and does, like Gabe said, the kid from Michigan end up there, who the Packers have as, this is a top 10 guy on our board. We have no reason to look anywhere else because everyone else is, you know, a late first round pick option. I think we've sort of overlooked it, yes, but I think we've done it accurately. Now, the Pottle odds is, as much as these things and they're trying to take their best guess, they are still guessing. There is no certainty to that. It is not like a point spread or an over-under where you can put together a formula. There is a level of what they're doing is looking at the past, looking at what they have on the roster and going, yeah, I could see this happening. I think the reason wide receivers plus 700 is because there's 20 years of not taking one. If you were to take probably the actual odds of the Packers drafting based how they've approached their top 30 visits, wide receivers should probably be two on this list. And I think that's where like the value is in terms of, yeah, it just doesn't make sense because the Packers haven't taken them, but the Packers view that position, and I think the rest of the NFL does, as very important. So they're going to address it at some point, I can almost assure you that.
Has he ever drafted a superstar with the first and second pick?
Chewy, he hasn't drafted. I mean, the closest thing he's gotten to a superstar, I mean, the reason why they ranked last in that article that you referenced that Bill Huber, you know, had based on a study, is because Jair Alexander is the only All-Pro that he's ever drafted.
And he is a superstar, though.
Yeah, so he was their first. He was Goody's first pick, ever pick for Brian Gutekunst was Jair Alexander, and he nailed it. And since then, no.
I did drop $20 on wide receiver plus 700 last night at Pottawatomie.
Those are good numbers.
Right, plus 700. You know, again, if you think it's going to go defensive line / edge, the odds right now are plus 110. Fine, you can do that as well, and you could be like, all right, well, double my money. But I figure for $20 on the off chance that they end up the way the board shakes out. And again, yesterday with this mock draft, Golden was there. And that's not to say he will be. It's just saying that he was there on the draft. And actually, when I asked, who are the next after this list? And these guys are gone. They're not available. Show me the list of guys, the next best available, ChatGPT, right? It was a safety. It was the edge guy that you don't love.
Oh, Shamar Stewart.
From Texas A&M. And it was another safety. Those were the next four players from best available and Golden.
Oh, I couldn't be any more out on Shamar Stewart. Four and a half sacks in your college career? No, thank you.
Yeah, that doesn't sound luscious.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he becomes a star. I've done enough. And maybe that's the wrong way to approach this. I've done enough with physical freaks that you think have all the talent in the world that didn't have production in college. Maybe that guy can be the opposite of what Rashawn Gary and Lucas Van Ness have been for the Packers, but I want somebody who can actually get after the quarterback and has proven that he can do that at that level.
My big concern with that is clearly the Packers have an issue with their defensive line coaching and the development of those players. I think Shamar Stewart can be an absolute like superstar, and people are could have a potential to look at and go, how the hell did this guy go in the 20s? But with the way they've treated that position, and they've now had, what is this, the third coach in 3 years that they'll have in the defensive line? Clearly, they're not able to pinpoint the right people to elevate their talent. You could even argue the last one probably got the least out of all the talent they had there. And that's where I start to poke holes in.
What if some of these guys just aren't talented?
Right, but
like, I mean,
that's Rudy's job to know or not. Yeah, like, that's what coaching, the evaluation process is supposed to unveil.
Because I don't care who your coach is, Chew. How many times did we watch Lucas Van Ness get blocked one-on-one by a bleeping tight end?
I agree.
Like, that's just, I don't care who your coach is. Like, you got to be, like, there's got to be something within you that you can not just get stonewalled consistently by a tight end.
My point is, Rashawn Gary, Kenny Clark, and the guys who have established track record, they all saw declines. And to me, if those guys are declining and you're not getting anyone better, there's clearly an issue that is bigger than just not good enough.
It's evaluation, right? Like, I mean, you got to look at evaluation at this point. If they keep evaluating these guys as game changers and they aren't changing games, there's something wrong in your evaluation process. You're prioritizing the wrong things. And Gabe, to your point, I want somebody who has done it at the collegiate level on a high level, who's a game wrecker, and then hope it translates.
Just
hope
some
it
sort of
translates to the NFL, because there's proof of concept there at least. Not this athletic freak. We think he can do it at the next level. Once he finds that groove, man, lights out.
I mean, it seems like the two areas that a lot of teams are willing to ignore production is, unfortunately, two of the top premier positions. Quarterback, if you have physical traits, like Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson was a top five pick, had all these great physical traits, even though he didn't have a ton of production, but the Colts decided it was worth the risk. And it seems like that happens quite a bit at the pass rusher position as well, where, you've got these physical traits, so we're going to kind of ignore the production because you're a physical freak.
What was the knock on Rashawn Gary when he was at Michigan, right? Maybe the second best high school player in the country goes to Michigan and is...
Didn't have the stats. Didn't have the production.
Didn't have the stats. And then he goes to the Packers with, the
12th?
11th pick or 12th pick. And the knock on him was like, underachiever. Well, that seems to be playing out, you know. So Goody does, he does weird, I want to say S, like this.
Stuff.
But with Lucas Van Ness.
He does stuff.
With Lucas Van Ness, didn't start at Iowa, but look at the intangibles. And I don't know why we're so shocked. Right? Because, Jen, remember we had this conversation about drafting these receivers from small schools and this and that. And, like, what is he, you know? That's why I'm a huge Abuka guy. I'm like, look.
You've seen him do it.
Ohio State produces receivers again and again. And they go to the next level. And then they're very rarely a bust. I don't know if he values that, you know. I just remember Ron saying, I screwed up in the first round because I didn't draft football players. I draft combine guys. There's got to be a combination of the two. And stop trying to out-cute everybody. I'm sick of the cuteness. Oh, he's cute. But look at how cute he is. Let's draft him. Knock it off. I'm going to slap you.
And it goes back to what we always say. I don't need the diamond in the rough. Give me the sure thing. You know?
Yes.
You know, you're going to be a genius if you nail the pick. Not if you...
Like you, Jen, last night, you walked away, right?
Absolutely. Hey, 100%.
I'm happy with my 350. I'm out.
I turned $70 into 350. Yeah, that's a stellar night for me. We got to take a break. We got to get to top 8 at 8 right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
I do want to tell you about our friends at Ewald Automotive Group, because if you need a new vehicle, check out Ewald Automotive Group's Spring Into a New Ride sales event. Over 1,500 new and used vehicles, low price guarantee on new vehicles. Shop their certified best used cars starting at under $9,995. That's right, starting under $9,995. Financing for everyone, no payments till summer with approved credit. Now is the time to upgrade with Ewald. It's always friendly people who treat you right. Great selection, low, low prices. And again, think great selection. Yeah, they've got 10 locations. Of course they have great selection. It all starts at ewaldauto.com.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
But remember he said his birthday?
Yeah.
Maybe we get a little freaky.
Yeah. Like it's, and everyone's like, oh, look at our horny little boy. We're so good for him. Like, everybody's so supportive of Giannis, they just kind of look past it.
On 94.5 ESPN.
For your next night out, revel in the fusion and artistry and flavor with sushi at St. Kate. I bet you didn't know that St. Kate offers sushi now, but they do. It's an elevated experience where freshness and creativity converge in every bite. St. Kate, the Arts Hotel, introduces the addition of a new, exciting sushi menu to its culinary repertoire. Indulge in the finest seafood, freshest ingredients, and expert craftsmanship for an inspired and delectable dining journey. Experience the art of sushi at St. Kate and learn more at stkatearts.com.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You pie.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey.
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken.
Chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What do we got, Gabe?
Draft is just a week away, so today's list is rookie-related. Got this list, you and Chew guess back and forth. Once you each get one incorrect, we open it up to the fans in the Car Blues Talking text line, 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one will win an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. I am looking for the last 8 Packers rookie wide receivers who had 500 yards in that rookie season.
Did they have to be drafted?
I mean, it's tough to be a rookie and not be drafted.
Undrafted free
by
agent.
By the Packers, yeah.
Repeat the category.
Last 8 rookie wide receivers with 500 yards in their rookie season for the Packers.
Jeez. Is this supposed to be illustrative?
Maybe, maybe not. Like, who could say for sure?
The impact that rookie wide receivers have had on the team.
Only one way to find out, Jen.
Christian Watson?
Christian Watson, number 3 on the list, had 611 yards back in 2022.
Randall Cobb.
Ooh.
Had under 500 yards his rookie season.
What a wild guess.
Yeah, especially after you knew Christian Watson was 3.
Yeah. Who has been more recently a rookie wide receiver?
Well, I know there's a bunch of stiffs on the list that, you know,
I don't know if there's
play very long. There's a handful.
500 feels like a low bar, though. No? Jaden Reed is on the list.
Jaden Reed, number 1, at 793 yards in his rookie season of 2023. Do you want a mulligan, Chewy?
Yes, he does.
Getting yelled at because the AC is too low.
You get yelled at over here, too.
Hashtag
so.
Florida problems.
I got to pick which problem I want to kill first here. Let's go MVS.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling had 581 yards in his rookie season of 2018.
All right, let's go with Sterling Sharp so I can get out and deal with this problem.
All right, well, Sterling Sharp is number 7. He had 791 yards in 1980.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So there's one behind him?
Chewy was throwing out a name. He thought there was no way it was on the list so he could
Holy
go talk to
cow.
His wife.
Go ahead, Jen.
Jaden Reed is number 1. Christian Watson is number 3.
Correct.
Would Romeo be on that list? Did he have 500 his rookie season? I'm guessing.
Okay, Romeo Dobbs is not on
Darn
the list.
Darn it! See, now, Chew, it's all up to you.
So there's one before Sterling?
Yeah, that's correct.
White Dude USC.
No, that's incorrect.
Okay. Who is
know who I'm talking about?
Dude USC?
I have no idea.
Is that Brett? Was it Quigley?
Yes.
Jesus.
Incorrect.
Yeah. Gideon Sterling Sharp opened up so many options I wouldn't have originally considered.
Yeah. No, I mean, look.
Well, Greg Jennings has got to be on the list. Well,
so you know that Sterling is 7. You know that MVS is 4.
Yeah.
And again, you still have 2. I mean, you guys knocked out 4.
Wait. I get a mulligan. He got a mulligan.
He got his first one wrong. That's why. Because he got his first one wrong and you were looking for help.
You guys making up a lot of rules here. Don't make a lot of sense. 800-990-3776. I'm pretty sure I gave an answer then.
You guys strategically hit some pretty good ones. Again, knowing that Reed is 1, knowing that Watson's 3, MVS is 4, and Sharp is 7. Again, I feel that kind of opens up the door for kind of knowing what you got to knock down.
800-990-3776. Let's go out to Gordy in Menominee Falls. Gordy, you're on with Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can you complete our top 8 at 8 list?
We'll see. Dontavian Wicks
had 581 yards his rookie season, which oddly enough is the exact same yardage that MVS had. So now we've got the top 4: Reed, Wicks, Watson, and MVS. And then we know Sterling Sharp is 7. We need 5, 6, and 8.
James Jones.
James Jones had 676 in 2007.
What number is he?
Number 5.
Greg Jennings.
632 in 2006.
Oh, nice.
Old school, James Lofton.
And James Lofton is number 8 on the list.
Ah! Gabe, the USC receiver was Eric Affolter.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Gordy, nice work. Gordy finishing the list. My microphone was on, then it wasn't on, but it was on the whole time, so I just said it 3 times like it was Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
rookie wide receivers not having a lot of impact for the Green Bay Packers going all the way back to 1978.
Trying to illustrate 1978 rookie wide receivers.
And again, the highest on this list was Lofton with his 818 in 78.
I, for one, am shocked that Amari Rodgers didn't have more receiving yards his rookie year. But I guess that'll happen when the quarterback won't even look at you in the huddle.
Eric Affolter's career receptions in the NFL? 7. That was a little,
I mean, if they were all
a lucky number,
if they were all 99-yard touchdowns, Chew, he could have made the list.
Receiving yards, 68. So he was under 10 yards a catch.
Was he a tight end? Hey, move to tight end?
How'd you even think of him?
It's true, he probably played with him.
Weird brain.
He didn't even surpass 100 yards receiving.
You know what's weird? We were talking about the draft the other day, and I had deja vu. Like, I've seen it before. I see how it goes down.
You want to give us a little...
What could that possibly mean?
You want to give us a little primer over there?
I have no idea. But the...
He's like Biff with the almanac is what he's saying.
The stage was in a different area. It was up the stairs, you know, in the front, you know, whatever. What is that, the east side?
Yep.
That's less of a premonition and more of you using your imagination.
Yeah. Yeah, these are the details we don't care about. We want to know who the Packers took in your premonition to know if the premonition's actually true.
I was in the crowd. That's all I remember.
Well, now we know it's bull hockey.
It's the most phony thing I've ever heard of.
We have a surprise for our guy. Coming up next, a surprise inclusion for our guy, the Chew Master.
Should I be worried?
No.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. That helps.
Why don't you go deal with your air conditioning issue? You can come back to us, okay? All right, we'll take a break. We'll give our Chew surprise right after this.
There's a lot of buzz surrounding the draft. We know it's next week, but you're not going to find a draft seeping through Pella's Windows and Doors. We love Pella Window and Doors of Wisconsin here at ESPN Wisconsin, and it's easy to see why. The people that work there, the great selection that they have, the customization that they can do for you, and of course, a window for just about every budget. In fact, you should be making Pella your number one pick right now. Take advantage of no interest financing options or free glass upgrades. As I mentioned, their talented designers and installers can match your unique home through seamless customization. Certain restrictions do apply. Deal ends April 30th. So place your free in-home consultation today. All you got to do, go to PellaWI.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, everyone who I let try borscht likes it. They don't love it, but it's it's a liver.
What an endorsement.
This is your pitch.
But hold on.
Hey, yeah, like, guys, good luck. I don't even have to talk anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
How you feeling, big guy?
Okay. I kind of feel that this is somehow draft related.
Well, you're a little nervous.
I guess. Yeah. Is what it is.
What do we got, Gabe?
So, Sports Illustrated decided to do an exercise. They called it the Ultimate NFL Mock Draft. Best pick ever at each slot, number one to number 224. So, the best number one overall pick in history, according to them, is Peyton Manning. Lawrence Taylor's number two. Again, they did this all the way down to pick number 224. And our guy, Mark Chmura, the 157th pick in 1992, is the greatest 157th pick in NFL history.
There is. Yeah, but what were some of the other names, you know? Skeeter Lutz.
What does that matter?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, that's nice.
You were picked where you were picked. You can't control where you're picked. Well, I suppose you can control it a little bit if you played a little bit better in college. But that's besides the point.
Cared about the combine, things of that nature.
Let's not talk about any of that. You were picked where you were picked, and Sports Illustrated and Monday Morning Quarterback says you were the best of every guy picked at that slot.
All right, follow-up question. Gabe said it was a good thing. I want to know why Joshy said it was a bad thing.
I was just teasing you. I just wanted you to have 4 minutes of you debating why it was what could possibly.
Well, I was. So then I sit there going, they got my combine stats. I'm like, they got my combine stats. So this is going to be a little ugly.
Well, I mean, I'm sure we could find those if we really wanted to dig.
Just share them with us. And
well, the only redeeming thing is I had the fastest four cone, three cone, Gabe, help
three
me
cone, yeah.
Three cone out of all. Unfortunately, that is like the punter of all the tests. So.
Well, yeah, for your position. A little more important for a cornerback. He's got to be a little shiftier in space. Yeah. Running back might be a little bit more important. Yeah, you're the best 157th pick.
Cool.
It doesn't say, but apparently there was another Pro Bowler who was selected at 157. But you had the most with your three Pro Bowl selections.
It does also say that 10 Packers made the list. Chu, would you like to guess which Packers were the best at their respective picks? Now, you don't have to nail the picks, but just the players who were picked that they considered the best of their respective spots.
Brett's obviously got to be one at 33 or 30.
Brett is, yes, number 33, yes.
See, it's got to be late. Late round picks, right?
Yeah. I don't know if that counts for the Packers, though, Chu, since he was a, you know, Falcons draft pick.
Oh, so for the for Packers.
Mm-hmm. But Brett was on the list at 33.
Aaron's probably number 24.
He is Aaron? Not.
He's not the best at 24?
Really?
No, the best 24th overall pick, Ed Reed.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I mean, four-time league MVP.
I mean, right. How far does this go back, Gabe? Does this go to the 60s?
Yeah, so I think 1957 is as far as it was going back.
Well, Bart was like a 19th round, so he can't be on it. Probably Forrest Gregg.
Don't see him.
No, I have no idea then.
Sterling? Yep, Sterling was one of them, right, Gabe?
Sterling LeRoy? Was honorable mention.
Oh, shoot. Ooh.
Because he was the seventh overall pick.
LeRoy was a second or a third round pick. No.
LeRoy was not on the list.
So you were on the right track when you were thinking late rounds, right? Because David Bakhtiari, who was the 109th pick in 2013, was the number one player at that pick, according to this list.
Dorsey was on the list.
Thank you. I was looking for Dorsey, the next one. 149 in 1994.
Double D was on the list.
Yep.
Oh, I thought Donald's...
He was a seventh round pick.
Oh, okay.
213th pick in 1999, followed by Mason Crosby, who was the 193rd pick in 2007. I mean, this would have been hard to aggregate, wouldn't it?
Oh, I can't imagine how long it took to like go through every pick for 60 years or for however long back they decided to go for this.
Huh. Was this Bill Huber?
No. So Sports Illustrated, I mean, Huber then has an article about the Packers. But somebody else did the
Albert
entire
Breer
list. It was an Albert Breer.
Aaron Rodgers was the honorable mention, as you mentioned, at number 24. Bart Starr would have been a runaway winner as the number 200 pick, but ineligible because it was 1956.
Mike Daniels made this list.
Oh, I didn't even see Mike Daniels on here.
As a 132nd pick.
Is this KGB? Am I seeing KGB on here?
So KGB was actually selected, I believe, as the same spot as Dorsey Levin. So he was an honorable mention in that spot.
Okay. Wow.
Him and Doris were the exact same pick. Steve Odom was 1974 draft pick. He came in at 116. Okay. Mark Brunell at 118.
Oh, Brunell, yeah. Yeah, that's a good, that was a really good pick.
Hasselbeck at 187.
Hasseldork? Yeah.
What was that?
Hasselbeck, sad about his dad. I loved his dad. So sad.
Called him a dork and then RIP his dad.
Well, that's what I called him. That was his nickname. I was in charge of giving nicknames to everyone on the team.
The 180 there in a matter of 4 seconds was impressive.
And then Dave Hampton, a running back from 1969 draft at 220. Best ever 220 pick.
Do we want to talk about Chewy's combine?
I mean, you got the numbers?
I do. I have his RAS score, too.
Oh, boy.
I didn't have RAS when I played.
Yeah, but you can calculate it. Just calculate it.
Yeah, you find the results, and then you run it through the system, and it gives you a result. Do we
but it's got to be on a scale.
Do we want to take a guess of his total RAS score?
Oh, let's see.
Well, because his 40 was slow.
0.8.
He might have been lower than that.
I mean, the problem is, when he came out of college, he wasn't that big. Like, so having a slow 40 time at 235 or whatever he was isn't going to...
His second best grade he got was his height, which was immeasurable. His first best, which was elite, a 9.53, his short shuttle.
Oh, ooh. All right.
Chewy's score was a grand total of a 4.21.
And you're lucky RAS didn't exist back then. Ron, what the draft did you?
Yeah, but the turf was so slow.
His explosion grade is poor.
Yeah.
What about long snapping? Did they mention that?
Vertical jump was 30.5. That rates in the 58th percentile. Broad jump, 8'9", was in the 28th percentile. 40-yard dash was 5.03. 254, the 25th percentile. And then your bench press was only 13 at that point.
They took like 7 away because the guy was a dick.
Can't say that.
You should have said.
I'm glad you've let it go all these years later. I'm glad you, lasting in the league for almost a decade, going to 3 Pro Bowls, winning Super Bowl, that just melted away the guy who took away 7 reps in the bench press.
Josh. Yeah.
Now do you understand why I went right to Hooters?
It does measure here based on the speed you ran that you... Your 40-yard dash MPH was 19. That's moving pretty good there, based on your splits and everything that was happening there.
Yeah, I feel so much better now.
What does it matter?
I was going to say, you had a long and illustrious career.
You had a pretty damn good career, man. Who cares about the guy who took away 7?
You defied all odds.
Oh, gosh. Thanks, guys.
Being embarrassed about your combine.
I know. RAS. What would I get drafted right now with an RAS of 4.2?
Oh, sweetheart.
You'd be drafted as
smells
a long...
like free agent.
Maybe.
Smells right? like Canada.
It may, maybe, Chewy, somebody would pick you up as a long snapper in the seventh round.
Please, please name this podcast Smells Like Canada.
Holy cow, I'm sweating.
We gotta take a break. My abs are on fire. I'm more athletic right now laughing than Chewy was at his combine.
Very true. All the texts are already coming in. Thanks, guys. Thanks a lot.
We'll take a break. Be right back.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So overrated.
Come on, his head is a pumpkin.
Yeah, he's so right. Chewy's never been more right
Ed
about anything.
Sheeran.
Chewy was right. Yeah. Holy Chewy was right.
Yeah. Imagine the helmet on that dome. It'd be the first 8.5 size helmet. What the?
On 94.5 ESPN.
I'm seeing some redundancy on the old carbless talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Jared in the 920, Sadler in the 608, both saying, hey, at least you're better than Alex Stroff.
That really doesn't make me feel good.
Just thought I'd let you know. Some of our loyal listeners had the same thought while hearing about that. Again, Chu, you have a lot to be proud of, obviously.
Yeah. I was just a late bloomer. You should have seen the shoes I had to run in. I mean, come on. Work boots?
I was about to say, what did you run in the New Balance? Like,
I had a new set of Timberlands. They said they were sneakers.
I can't believe Joshy posted your Pro Bowl, I'm sorry, your combine results to the...
To our Twitter page.
Yeah.
If we did it to Strophy, totally fair.
Well, but I mean, your card also says Pro Bowl. You know, like, I mean, yeah, all this stuff happened, but you also were a 3-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah.
You're more of a modern miracle than anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what the real question is? How in the hell did I go in the sixth round?
It's true. I mean, and Ron, I know, right? I know. Ron has asked you, "How the hell did you last to the sixth round?" But I think we're starting to see why.
Yeah,
measurables not great.
Okay.
He's like, "Are we done with this?"
Do you have any idea who the like scout was that was particularly high on you, or was that mainly a Ron thing? Because I know a lot of those regional guys, they'll just like fall in love with people and pound the table for them, especially.
Who came and worked me out, Joshy, was John Dorsey. He made me run a 40, and then he said, let's go play basketball. And then I never heard from the Packers again.
Well, you must have done pretty well on the court.
Until draft day.
Did you ever ask for detail on the basketball? Was it like they were looking for your feet?
I would imagine now. I had no idea back then. But my agent, which now I believe to be a complete lie, is like, hey, Pittsburgh and Seattle are thinking of taking you in the fourth. Yeah, right. Wow, that hook was so big and so deep into my mouth.
I mean, maybe they thought about it. Crossed their mind.
Quickly unthought it.
It was up there
what,
briefly.
A ball boy?
They're like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's get to the poll. Today's Infinity Exterior poll was the Green Bay Packers were ranked as the 7th best roster in the NFL. That from The Athletic. You can find that article on The Athletic. The Eagles were 1, the Ravens were 2, the Lions were 3, the Packers were 7. Too high, too low, just right, Goldilocks. 55% of people are saying it's too high, and 44% of people are saying it's just right. Literally 1% is saying it's too low. So some reaction that people posted on the post were they were barely the 7th best team in the NFC alone. I think they're closer to 10 than 7 right now. That from Brandon. And Jerry says their roster is middle of the pack. So again, and the opportunity exists for them to improve it in the draft next week. And we know that they will at least try. They're going to give it the old college try. I am seeing guys, though, on the Carbless Talk and Text line. People are, I'm not sure about Goody.
Really?
I mean, he's caught a lot of heat. I know that, but I also feel like that's because if you ran a poll, because when Chewy had said, "Oh, the Brewers have the best front office, and that's the one I trust the most," like I think Jason ran a poll. I'd have to go back and find it either on his account or the Willie and Tausch account, where the Packers front office was the one that fans trusted the most.
Interesting.
So I think there's a loud minority that doesn't really trust Goody, but you start polling people and they go, yeah, Packers have a really good front office.
Well, because tomorrow we're going to talk about the Brewers. We were going to talk about it today, but tomorrow we're going to get to the Brewers being one of the best front offices in Major League Baseball. People think highly of what the Brewers are doing. And I would say that the results, given what they've been through, the challenges they're facing, the uphill battle so far this season, backs that up. But that's a conversation for another day. Will Dean Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.